Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
Hey, you can't prove anything. You're engaged in speculation. I know the law.
What are you talking about, Matt?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
I don't know. When you start defending yourself and I haven't really done anything, like I accused you of anything officially, it just makes you look very suspicious.
I don't know what you're talking about. These cigarettes fell off the truck.
Okay. All right. I got it. I'll give me 5%. I won't say a word.
All right, deal.
Okay, good. Hi, folks. How you doing? Got a good episode for you this week. Or today, I suppose. Now we're doing 2 week. I can't say this week anymore. Before we get started, like I always do, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Really helps us out. We haven't had a lot of reviews lately. I really appreciate it if you took the time and wrote one. It doesn't have to be much. I've tried to think of a way to incentivize it somehow, but iTunes really does do the kibosh on that, I guess. But we do read every single one, let you guys know that. Before we get into this week's episode, I do want to discuss a little bit. I had asked you guys to at least contribute what you thought about When Flanders Failed, our last episode. We were kind of down on it. We thought Homer was very cruel. And kind of, it was, I believe I used the word joyless to describe it. Got a couple responses, some agreeing with us, some not agreeing with us. I think, there's, one fan in particular named Gaspar on our Facebook page. He wrote a long response. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but he basically disagrees with us. He thinks it's, that this episode really is a morality play. And that's how he describes it. You can, go on our Facebook page and check it out. His full response, if you'd like to read it. Yeah, he did a very good job. I do want to, applaud him for responding. I think that's the only way you can read it and not see Homer as just a monster. But after seeing some of our earlier responses for our next listener question, I don't feel so bad about what Homer does in When Flanders Failed, because I had forgotten about some of the awful things he does in later seasons.
It's true. I actually like in Gaspar's response, he likens it to when Bart destroyed Lisa's centerpiece in Bart versus Thanksgiving. And put that way, I kind of see the similarities where Homer is basically a giant man child who doesn't understand the consequences of his actions. And like you said, some of those responses kind of really point that out.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think that I can agree that that's probably what they're going for. I just don't, and morality plays in general are very broad, very direct about what they're doing. They are not subtle at all. And I don't think that they were, if that's what they're going for, I think I would like it more if they were just hit me over the head with it. About like literally having like a demon on Homer's shoulder or something along those lines, which they do later on. One of my favorite episodes, if not my favorite, is Homer's Enemy, in which Homer indirectly murders a man. So I'm not that. That's not really my main point of contention. Is that he's mean? It's that I don't think it's very artful. And like they do it much better later on, like in that episode and other episodes where Homer is a jerk, but they kind of frame it a little differently. And I guess it's a lot to ask for. And I think a little bit is I don't really like that the saccharine sweet ending. Like, I really wish they would have just pulled the trigger with it. Because I think that's what I like so much about Homer's Enemy, is that Frank Grimes literally is dead at the end and Homer has not changed. And maybe that's just like, I appreciate that the more cynical humor or something, but. Or that it's so dark. I think it goes so dark that it's obviously a joke. This never gets to that point. And I think that's why we disagree for the most part. But I do appreciate your response and everyone else who did respond to it. Anything else I should touch on? Oh, he does say that we are our laughing sounded like comic book guy. Well, I will give you guys a little inside baseball. We have already recorded both this week's episodes once. That recording you heard was the second time we recorded When Flanders Failed because of some awful technical problems that made me want to kill my computer. So it was late at night and we were quite loopy. I know that I was. You can ask Matt. I was a little crazy.
I think we're all a little crazy, but especially that night.
Yeah. But anyway, let's on to this week's episode. A very good episode. Bart the Murderer. Episode 8, F03, originally aired October 10th, 1991, written by John Swartzwelder, directed by Rich Moore. Chalkboard gag is high explosives in school don't mix.
I would completely disagree.
I agree. I agree with you, Matt, in that I disagree with that sentiment. I think you want to get kids involved with chemistry, show them explosions.
That's right. Explosions are fun and happy, and as long as in the correct environment, they can be safe.
Yeah,
but probably not the ones Bart was involved with.
No, and they, but and as we see in this episode, they can save you from piles of newspapers.
That's true.
Chemical reactions, at least, not necessarily. I mean, it's a very small explosion, I guess, if you want to call it an explosion.
Yeah, it's true. It's more of a gaseous exhalation, but you know, it worked for Skinner, I guess.
True, true, true. Matt is our scholar here, so I'm going to refer to him whenever I need some chemistry advice. The couch gag is the family forms a pyramid with Maggie on top. I like it. It's cute. It's new. It's a new one. Original American broadcast. I wonder, what do you know the rating systems for other countries, Matt? Do they use Nielsen or they use anything? I don't know. Wikipedia always says American. I'm curious how they measure in other countries. But it finished for 31st in the ratings. Nielsen rating for 13.4, approximately 12.5 million households. Highest rated show on Fox that week. It continues its reign after a bad showing a few weeks ago. This is the first appearance of Fat Tony, of Legs, of Louie, of basically the entire Springfield Mafia and all those gangster stereotypes that turn into beloved characters. Joe Mantegna, obviously doing Fat Tony, doing an excellent job portraying Fat Tony. And also guest starring Neil Patrick Harris, playing himself, playing Bart, which a really nice, very short appearance near the end. Kind of a proto Harris, Neil Patrick's MPH. Kind of poking fun at himself, which kind of came back in his the second part of his career, the renaissance of his career, I guess. Episode starts, Bart happy, looking forward to the day, eating cereal, looking for a glow-in-the-dark badge. Yeah, he's happy. Homer's taken the badge. That's the first thing in a very, very bad day for Bart. Sans the Helper's eating his homework, which, of course, Bart is surprised that the dog actually has eaten it, his homework. He misses the bus. Of course, as soon as he's walking to school, it starts raining. He's late to school, obviously. How late is he, Matt?
I believe he is 10, 20, 30, 40 minutes. That's pretty damn late.
He's pretty damn late. He splits his pants on the playground, and worst of all, he has forgotten his permission slip to the chocolate factory. They're going on a field trip today.
Oh,
I know, really. I would have that same reaction if I didn't get to go to the chocolate factory. Apparently, the entire school is going to the chocolate factory.
I would have hidden in some luggage, to be honest, to get to go to a chocolate factory.
I know. Find a way. Do something. Call Marge. What's she doing? She can't deliver it to school? Emergency?
Right.
Marge would do that. She's a good mom. But instead, Bart is stuck at school with Skinner, I think, and it's only them.
Oh, don't worry, Bart. We'll find something fun for you to do. Ah, here we are. There's a whole box of unsealed envelopes for the PTA.
You're making me lick envelopes?
Oh, licking envelopes can be fun. All you have to do is make a game of it.
What kind of game?
Well, for example, you could see how many you can lick in an hour, and then try to break that record.
Sounds like a pretty crappy game to me.
Yes, well, get started.
Which, that's a little foreshadowing for something that happens later on in the episode. This segment is stuck with me because I just think of it every time I'm left doing something tedious or I'm at work and I'm bored. Bart is looking at the clock and the seconds go slower and slower and then eventually go backwards. And it's always stuck with me.
I think we've all had those assignments where you're just sitting there and nothing can make time go any slower.
Yeah. And it at the same time, the kids are at the chocolate factory going crazy, beating up poor Mr. Coco Beanie, which Simpsons mascots characters never end up doing too hot. They usually get beaten up for the most part.
Because they're immune to damage, Robbie, in those giant costumes. They can't feel anything. They can't feel pain or sadness.
That's touche, Matt. Touche. But the kids sit down and get to watch a chocolate informational video starring Troy McClure.
Welcome to the Chocolate Factory. I'm Troy McClure. You probably remember me from such films as The Revenge of Abe Lincoln and The Wackiest Covered Wagon in the West. The history of chocolate starts with the ancient Aztecs. In those days, instead of being wrapped in a hygienic package, chocolate was wrapped in a tobacco leaf. And instead of being pure chocolate like we have today, it was mixed with shredded tobacco. And they didn't eat it. They smoked it.
So is all that true, Matt?
Technically, it's true, although they smoked it less so than they drank it. They made a liquid out of it, and there was no sweetener or anything, so it is not the, you know, wonderfully delicious hot chocolate you can think of with marshmallows inside. No, it's more like a, you know, kind of beery taste. It's not something we would probably enjoy.
It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's better than, I guess, all they had else what to drink was water, so it's an alternative. Did they have coffee? They didn't have coffee.
I don't believe that they had coffee. But I just want to say, I would really like to see The Revenge of Abe Lincoln. I'm pretty sure that was the point of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, but I think they could do a better job.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Did you, by the way, guys, Matt, have you seen that Pixel open, the Pixel opening for The Simpsons yet? The one that just came out?
I have not.
Oh, man, you got to watch it. It's so good. It's the entire opening, and it goes crazy about a minute in. Like, insane. Ooh, okay. Insanely ridiculous. I tweeted this earlier in response to it, but I am predicting The Simpsons going a full episode doing the pixel art style sooner rather than later. With this coming out, I definitely see this sparking. With all them doing all these gimmicky episodes lately, I guarantee they're going to do it.
I can believe it.
Yeah, so they're at the Chocolate Factory. Kids are having fun. Bart gets to go home early, a whole minute early. Of course, he goes outside. It starts raining again. He manages to eventually fall down some steps in town, opens his eyes, and guns surround him, pointed right in his face. And that week.
Oh, no!
I know. Dun, dun, dun! Cut to commercial.
But when we come back, we learn that, oh no, these fellas are okay, they're legitimate businessmen, and this is their social club. Bart, of course, makes the acquaintance of William Fat Tony Williams, or D'Amico, depending on the episode you're watching.
I wanted to call you out on this one, Matt, because you asked me a trivia question once upon a time, and that was not the answer. It was a different answer.
It's not. If you, in the episode where Homer becomes a boxer, that is the name they read out over the intercom. That's the episode I was going off of.
Okay.
Apparently they're just not consistent enough.
I'll cut you some slack.
But anyway, the gangsters immediately set about to determine Bart's quality.
Pick a horse, kid. Shelbyville Downs, third race. Make it a good one.
Eat my shorts.
Ah, okay. Let's see. Hey, wait a minute, you little punk. Eat my shorts is in the fifth race. I said the third race.
Don't have a cow.
Don't have a cow in the third. Put a deuce on him.
And, of course, luckily for Bart, that horse wins. So apparently the only thing you need to make gangsters like you is to be incredibly lucky at picking horses. So, you know, just remember, if you want to get an organized crime, start paying attention at the horse track.
I think gambling, being good at gambling is important if you're going to be an organized crime. It's probably helpful.
That's true. While they're waiting for the results of the horse race, they give Bart a nice tour around to all of their various illegal paraphernalia. And once they decide to keep Bart and not shoot him, they ask him to, hey, make up a mixed drink for legs. And he wants a Manhattan. Of course, Bart has no idea. But, you know, once again, they pull their guns on him because that's what gangsters do. They threaten children with weapons. And he finds a old, you know, dusty a bartender's guide and makes up the best Manhattan legs has ever had. It's fact superb. And we actually cut to a montage of Bart hanging out with them, which ends with an Itchy and Scratchy cartoon where Scratchy is in prison with a whole bunch of other cats and gets mowed down by Itchy with a Tommy gun. And they actually spell out the end with bullets. And of course the gangsters get a great kick out of this and say, it's funny because it's true.
Yeah, this whole second act really is, it's basically just Goodfellas with Bart playing the role of...
We cut to another day when the gangsters are playing poker, Bart's making them drinks, getting huge tips out of them because, you know, they're gangsters and they have lots of money hanging around. And of course, Police Chief Wiggum busts in and says, oh, I'm going to get you, and leads to this little exchange.
I'm still going to put you away, you know.
Good for you.
See, isn't that a great kind of boss you want? Fat Tony is just so encouraging, even to the guy who's going to put him away. He's just like, oh, yeah, you're going to get it, Tiger.
I do want to point out that Joe Montana just does a spectacular job in what could be easily a role that is forgettable. Like, he really does a good job about keeping the right tone. Because Fat Tony is kind of, I mean, obviously everything, all this is a parody of, like, all those mafia movies and mafia fiction, but he manages to keep it light and funny and tongue-in-cheek, but also have the like that edge of menace. Like, he manages to toe that line very, very well. It's not
actually, you always feel like he really could shoot you if you pissed him off.
Yeah, it's not really easy to do necessarily with especially in like an animated program. They do an excellent job.
He's a heck of a voice actor. But anyway, we move on.
Matt, a heck of an actor. Have you not seen Baby's Day Out?
I can't say that I have, no.
You haven't watched Baby's Day Out?
No.
It's like Home Alone, but with a baby.
I think you just solidified me never watching that movie. Thank you. I appreciate that.
It has Joe Montana in it. He kidnaps the baby, and the baby wanders away, and they have to chase it through a city, and they all get beaten up Home Alone style in ways that would probably kill normal people.
Apparently, there is a cigarette truck that has gone missing. And, of course, Wiggum, being the wonderful paragon of the law that he is, calls a press conference to let everyone know that nothing is wrong. They will get this taken care of. And when asked, you know, how do they know that, he introduces the crowd to Jack Larson, Laramie Tobacco Products.
I think this is also our first appearance of Jack Larson.
I believe it is too. I mean, he features most prominently in Lisa the Beauty Queen, but he does a pretty good job here. He's a great slimy executive. We get to the Simpsons watching this press conference. Lisa, aghast, says, "Bart, is your boss a criminal?" And Bart replies, "No, but it would explain an awful lot." It might, in fact, explain that Bart's room is filled to the ceiling, wall to wall, with cigarettes. Once Bart goes back to work, he asks the criminals about the cigarettes.
Say, are you guys crooks?
Bart, is it wrong to steal a loaf of bread to feed your starving family?
No.
Well, suppose you got a large starving family. Is it wrong to steal a truckload of bread to feed them?
Uh-uh.
And what if your family don't like bread? They like cigarettes.
I guess that's okay.
Now, what if instead of giving them away, you sold them at a price that was practically giving them away? Would that be a crime, Bart?
Hell no.
Enjoy your gift.
Superb.
That gift, as we find out, is a shark skin suit. And I would like to say this is a particularly good example of the slippery slope fallacy, because, man, from stealing a loaf of bread to feed your starving family all the way down to stealing cigarettes and selling them for a massive profit. That's, you know, only like, what, 5-6 steps of logic?
Yeah, that's it. But he is a 10-year-old boy, Matt. It's not that hard to, I mean.
He's not versed in critical thinking yet. He's not a Lisa.
He is not sure a Lisa.
He would see the holes in that argument.
I think
but
she
Bart,
would.
Yeah, Bart is won over by this, and we see him the next day singing Witchcraft in his new suit and asking Marge for 3 fingers of milk, because that's what he's picked up from the gangsters, is how to order drinks. We see Marge, and she's a little concerned about Bart's attitude, so that night when she's in bed with Homer, she asks him, "Hey, can you go and talk to these guys?" Homer then goes the next day to actually talk to the gangsters, and they are playing poker. And all the other guys have way too many aces than should be in a singular deck of cards, but they all let Homer win anyway. And Homer, of course, takes this to mean that, oh, yeah, these are great guys. You know, they call Homer a heck of a father, and he's just basking in the adoration and says, "Hey, if you need a hat check, girl, I've got a daughter, too." Because, once again, Homer trying to sell his children into, you know, low-wage slavery. That's the kind of dad he is.
Well, to be fair, Bart is making out pretty good. Working for mafia, so I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea. If he's worried about is them having a job that makes them money.
That's true, because Bart is getting the collection of tips, and Marge finds a few $100 bills in his pockets eventually. So Homer takes this information home to Marge and says, "All that's going on down there is a large amount of male bonding," which doesn't sound bad at all. I think I'd be more worried about that these days than they were in the early 90s.
Nah, come on, Matt. All that cynicism.
Yeah, it's how I was raised. The Simpsons raised me, so I'm full of their cynicism.
I guess that's fair.
So the next day at school, Bart is no longer the trigger man for graffiti. He is the one directing it and telling them, "Oh, look, a few more stink lines here." And of course, he is caught by Principal Skinner. But instead of running like the other children, Bart faces Skinner and puts some money in his pocket and smacks him in the face and says, "You didn't see nothing." Because that's how the real world works. Unfortunately, Principal Skinner is a sheltered individual and says, "Oh, no." Drags Bart off for detention, where we see Bart with our first in-episode chalkboard gag.
I think so, yeah.
He is, He's forced to say, I will not bribe Principal Skinner in his suit. He has to take the jacket off. He rolls up the sleeves. Is he wearing high heels or platforms or what? Because those shoes look really weird.
I think it's just how they draw them on a kid to make sure that you understand that they're like really like fancy boots. I think that's what they're going for.
Okay. They're probably snakeskin, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what they're going for.
But we cut to the gangsters at the Legitimate Businessman Social Club, where Fat Tony is meeting with his godfather and some of the other gentlemen of questionable career choices.
Matt, it says on the door, legitimate businessmen.
And they would never lie, obviously.
No, of course not.
I mean, these are upstanding individuals. One of them is stabbing his hand with, what was it called? Five finger or something?
Five finger fillet.
Or five bishop, finger fillet.
Or bishop. I like the name bishop. I'm going to start calling it bishop.
That's true. If you don't remember, kids, that is from Alien. For Alien or Aliens?
Sequel, Aliens.
Aliens, okay. Where the android, you know, uses the knife thing between his hands super, super fast. And the other gentleman is playing the most evil game of all, Jax.
That's how
these are really bad people.
It's a pretty brutal game. I mean, it's basically a game for scoundrels, Jax is.
Absolutely. But of course, we find out the reason that Fat Tony has his godfather there is because he has promised him the best Manhattans in town, which of course only Bart can provide. But since Bart is late, having been kept after school by Principal Skinner, Fat Tony instead has legs whip up a couple of Manhattans, which we find out are unfortunately flat and flavorless, which leads to the godfather giving Fat Tony the kiss of death. Which apparently doesn't mean quite so much, because no one is really concerned by this, except for Fat Tony, who exclaims, "What, the kiss of death, that's all I need." Of course, as soon as the other gangsters leave, Bart comes in, and of course, Bart is fuming. He is mad. He's not used to being treated like this now that he's a legitimate businessman like the other gangsters. And he immediately comes in and starts pouring himself shot glasses full of milk, and Fat Tony asks him, "You're late," and Bart explodes at him, "Yes, of course I'm late. How can I not be late when Principal Skinner keeps me after school?" And surprisingly, the gangsters at hearing this are extremely concerned for Bart's welfare. And they ask him, "Is the Skinner guy giving you trouble?" And Bart, of course, not thinking, says he sure is. And the gangsters immediately go to have a visit with Principal Skinner because that's the kind of upstanding gentleman they are. Of course, we cut to Principal Skinner in his office doing some Mylan's paperwork because that's what he does best. His secretary buzzes in a few large men, which surprises Skinner because he doesn't have any appointments with large men. All of his appointments are with short, skinny men. So he's surprised. And we don't see what happens. We just see their menacing shadows over Skinner, and it cuts to black. We find out the next morning that Principal Skinner is missing, and then we cut to commercial.
Dun, dun, dun! Both.
No!
A lot of cliffhanger act breaks here. Okay.
It really is.
Another thing to consider. So we come back and they are searching for Skinner. They've employed a psychic who, despite not being able to predict anything about Skinner, she is able to predict many things about celebrities, pretty much all of them wrong.
Hey, Willie Nelson could still astound us by swimming the English Channel. It's just very unlikely because he's old and his lungs don't work very well.
It would be even more astounding if he managed it now. Bart is... There's rumor flying around that Bart had the mobsters kill Skinner at school, which honestly is not necessarily a crazy thing because he was associating himself with mobsters and told them that Skinner was bothering him. When you tell mobsters that someone's bothering you and they like you, they need you, they might get rid of that person or at least beat them.
Beat them savagely.
Yeah.
Or they could hurt their hands and tell you it was a boating accident.
Yeah, boating accidents. Those are very popular.
Poor Principal Skinner. He's intimate with the gangsters.
But Bart ends up going to sleep, and Bart has an awful, awful nightmare, continually seeing Skinner dead.
Killed me, Bart.
Bart ends up in, what is it, the Death House?
Absolutely. With a great roommate.
And a giant neon sign. Yeah, roommate looks like a roided out sideshow Bob.
That's what you do in jail. You get roided out. And you get 10-year-old boys as your cellmates.
But even Homer is outside the Death House cheering for Bart's death.
Kill my boy. Kill my boy. Which after Homer's performance in the previous episode, I can kind of see.
Yeah. It's not too far-fetched. But Bart wakes up from his nightmare, very kind of distressed, goes to see Fat Tony and the guys 8 hours early, and Fat Tony is very impressed by his punctuality, and asks him point blank, did you guys kill Skinner? And they're like, was it Chinese guy with a mustache? No, my principal. Oh, no, we didn't kill that guy. And at that point, Wiggum busts in and arrests everybody. Bart is in jail, gets visited by his family and one other person.
What's that guy doing here?
Lionel Hutz, court-appointed attorney. I'll be defending you on the charge of murder one. Wow, even if I lose, I'll be famous.
Okay, question for you. Is this the only time he plays Troy McClure and Lionel Hutz in the same episode?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably not. It seems like, well, I mean, if they got him in for a recording session, they're probably... If they can double up if they can. I'm sure there's no shortage. We'll keep an eye out for that. We're going to have to see how many times that actually happens.
Put on a checklist.
Yeah. But the rest of the episode basically is like a courtroom drama, which basically morphs into the mafia obviously have the best attorneys. They have, what is it, the blue-haired lawyer?
Yep.
Yeah, who is... They're basically just making Bart the scapegoat. Now he's Don Bartholomew all of a sudden. There's giant flowcharts that all point towards Bart as the ringleader. And they even get Homer to testify.
Mr. Simpson, you've been the boy's father for 10 years. Do you really think he could be the leader of a murderous criminal syndicate?
Well, not the leader, I mean... Oh, it's true, it's true! All the pieces fit!
So, that's... Homer probably shouldn't be testifying against Bart, but I guess he can't help himself.
He probably was like, I can say no, absolutely, oh no. Then he gets up there, he sees all the evidence, and he's like, oh, well, probably. Makes sense now.
He just couldn't hold back the truth. But eventually we get to the point where they're going to sentence Bart. It looks like Bart is going to be going to jail even though he's 10. But regardless, dramatically, right before sentencing, Principal Skinner bursts through the doors of the courtroom.
But stop!
Principal Skinner!
I thought he was dead.
I suppose you're all wondering where I've been. It all started a week ago. I was at my desk revising and updating the school dress codes when I was suddenly confronted by a gang of toughs acting on behalf of one Bart Simpson. Or so they said.
We really think there's promise in a boy.
Get out!
Okay, you don't have to yell.
To get my mind off that ugly confrontation, I went home and began bundling my old newspapers. But suddenly the pile fell. I was trapped. Let this be a lesson to recycle frequently. For the next week, I stayed alive by eating my mother's delicious preserves and maintained my sanity by dribbling a nearby basketball with my one free hand. I made a game of it, seeing how many times I could bounce the ball in a day, then trying to break that record. Occasionally, the police arrived to search my home. I shouted until I was hoarse, so they couldn't hear me. I'm in here!
Well, let's go.
Okay, Chief.
Finally, I realized if I was ever going to get out of there, I would have to do it myself. I formed a crude rocket from a discarded cigar tube. And remembering an experiment from my days as a fourth grade science teacher, I concocted a fuel from baking soda and the juice of discarded lemon wedges. The rocket took off with a mighty blast of carbon dioxide, dragging behind it the end of a vacuum cleaner cord. I grabbed onto the vacuum cleaner, pushed the cord retractor button, and was on my way to freedom. That's my courageous story.
So, Matt, does that chemistry check out?
Well, the basics of it check out, but the amount of reactants he had would never produce a reaction large enough to have the cord go that far. And anyone who's ever used a vacuum cleaner with a retractable cord knows that it is really hard to get those things to actually go in at any decent speed. So there's no way he can lift a fully grown man. But the idea is sound. He would just needed a rocket about 10 times the size, 7 or 8 lemons, and a whole bag of baking soda. Just, Probably would have been easier to dig his way out of the newspapers with a knife.
Regardless, I do like Skinner as a very lame MacGyver. It
right.
It makes sense.
I would say, I hope I never go missing so the police don't eat all my food, because, hey, that's mine, dang it.
So the case is immediately dismissed. Bart and Fat Tony have a brief exchange outside the courthouse.
I hope there are no hard feelings.
Yeah, Bart.
I deserve that. Look, I know we let you down, but me and the boys, we still think you've got a big future in racketeering and extortion.
Sorry, Fat Tony. I used to think your gang was cool, but now I learned that crime doesn't pay.
Yeah, you're right.
And that scene ends with them driving away in luxury limousines.
Those are cheap, though. It's not real money. Crime doesn't pay.
Of course not. But this episode ends with the family at home watching the made-for-TV movie loosely based on Bart's life, Bart's story. Apparently, they changed this just enough that they don't have to pay them. Neil Patrick Harris here is here playing himself, playing Bart. This Doogie Howser was still on the air when this came out. So, I mean, he's poking fun at himself even while he's still technically on another show. So kind of it is a foreshadowing his later turn in Harold and Kumar. And Homer ends the episode saying, now that tells you who the true criminals are, the sleazy Hollywood producers. And then the credits immediately cut to the executive producers of the show, which is a very good gag, a little self-reference.
Especially since at least James L. Brooks is one of those sleazy Hollywood producers, since he makes tons of movies. I don't know about made-for-TV movies, but he makes a lot of the rest of them.
All the people who are credited as executive producers of this show are so wealthy at this point that it doesn't. I mean, Sam Simon is like near death right now, and he's still like he's private jets everywhere, and all his money's going to environmental causes and stuff like that. They're getting so much money from the reruns of this, and the having just the like creator, the producer tags in perpetuity, basically. So yeah, they are sleazy, right, Matt?
Totally.
Right?
Yep, jerks.
Jerks. It's a very good episode, Matt.
Absolutely a great episode. I mean, it's just absolutely packed with stuff going on. There's not a slow moment. The dream sequence was amazing. Joe Montagna was great. Phil Hartman does a great job as both Lionel Hutz and Troy McClure. I mean, this episode has it all, essentially. Everything makes a good Simpsons episode.
Yeah. And thematically, you know, all the mob and mafia movie and fiction references and parodies and stuff, really strong. Just really what you're expecting from a really great Simpsons episode. Has everything, really. We will rank it at the end of the show. Before we continue, actually, not before we continue, we will continue into my favorite episode. Yes, this is our first entry, our first response for an episode, for my favorite episode. It is from a fan named Brandon. I'm going to read his full response. Here it is. This has been my favorite episode since I first fell in love with the show about 15 years ago. I've always loved Martin Scorsese and his parody of I've always loved Martin Scorsese, and this parody of Goodfellas is hilarious from beginning to end. Bart arriving to school, 5, 10, 15, 20, 40 minutes. That's pretty damn late. It's one of my favorite lines in the entire series. It's so unexpected, it makes it so much better. Chronicles Bart going from a no one to a helpful lackey in the mob to being the Don of the playground, featuring an in-episode chalkboard gag nonetheless, all the way to eventually being blamed as the real Don Bartholomew, who runs the CD Springfield Underground. Once he's fingered the patsy and the whole facade comes crashing down after Principal Skinner bursts into court alive, right before Bart is to be sentenced for the murder of Skinner, who once again retreats to the safety of his family, only to learn that the Simpsons are yet again gypped out of financial safety by those sleazy Hollywood producers. Sans little helper eating his homework, Bart's paranoid freakout when Nelson suggests he had Skinner killed, the psychic's outrageous predictions, the spinning newspaper gags, especially the final one where Bart is a giant octopus with Springfield in his tentacles, and learning that crime doesn't pay despite the cavalcade of limos keeps you laughing for the full 22 minutes. There are many great episodes, but this is far and away my favorite. So thank you, Brandon. Thank you for that response. Really well written. I really appreciate it. Everyone, please contribute. Email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com. Just title it My Favorite Episode and explain what your favorite episode is, why. And I'll read it on air. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to see everyone's... I think that's kind of one of the cool parts about The Simpsons, is that like the first thing you ask another Simpsons fan is, what's your favorite episode? And this segment's really trying to capture that. So thank you again, Brandon. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the news group, where they go to great lengths discussing Skinner's chemistry.
Well, there's a good reason for that.
Yes, but they come to the same conclusion you did, in that it's a nice touch, but it isn't necessarily authentic scientifically. But again, it makes sense with Skinner as a character. Really hones former fourth grade science teacher, apparently.
That's the kind of thing, the science you do in the fourth grade. You don't get to uranium or plutonium until high school. Just sad.
What high school did you go to, Matt? Like Mad Scientist High School?
I've said too much.
All right, all right. I guess that ties in to your opening salvo of this podcast. Other thing I want to touch on, and I love hearing about the new merch as it comes out at the time period. And this Franklin Mint has officially got on board. It's late 1991. They are releasing their first ever Simpsons Christmas plate, officially authorized by Fox. Really, officially authorized by Fox. And Matt Groening? No kidding. But I think it priced at $30. Closed forever after just 45 firing days. It is, be the first in your block to own this Simptastic ceramic. Simptastic. I checked on eBay real quick. It's like $15 right now. So if you guys want the Franklin Mitt ceramic Christmas plate from 1991, $15 will get you it. You know.
It's kind of a collector's item still.
Anything you buy from the Franklin's Mint is not really a collector's item. When thousands of people are buying it, I mean, it's cool. As long as you realize it's not worth any like money. Like if you enjoy looking at it, then that's fine. But it's not worth money. It only has sentimental value.
Yeah.
So you guys can check out this the comments yourself. If you like, it's alt.tv.simpsons old news group. It's on Google Groups now. If you Google it, you can find it pretty easily. It has its own little search function and all that. Next up, Matt, the new segment that is, what do I say, the talk of the nation, just buzzing around.
Everyone's talking about it. Everyone is asking themselves our questions and their friends our questions, just so they can feel a little better about themselves, that they know about The Simpsons, because all the cool kids do.
All the cool kids. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge. This segment, Matt and I will bring three trivia questions each, one easy, one medium, one hard, and then we'll challenge each other, trying to stump one another. Matt has generally been more successful than I have. It's because that Matt's big brain.
Robbie always brings easy questions.
I don't bring easy questions. I bring pretty tough ones, I think. You're just pretty smart, Matt. Just can't admit it. Come on, Matt. You're smart. You're smart, Matt.
No, Robbie.
You are. You're a smart guy. You got big brain.
All right, we'll see today.
The brain, big brain on Matt.
That's just creepy. Don't say that. All right, you want to start?
I will start this week. That sounds fine. My easy question, Matt, you ready?
I'm ready.
Who shot Mr. Burns in the two-part episode, Who Shot Mr. Burns?
Who shot Mr. Burns and who shot Mr. Burns? That's a great question. I'm going to go with Maggie.
You are correct.
Although there is a rumor going around that it was Smithers, and there's video evidence to prove it.
That's been disproven, Matt.
No. See, I've seen the video of it. It makes a good case, but poor Smithers had to take a 5% pay cut. It was terrible.
If you rewatch the end of, or is it, end, is it the first part? Or second? I forget which part it is, but when it pans to the crowd, and it's part one. When Mr. Burns is asking if anyone has the guts to actually go through with it, the only person who doesn't look away is Maggie.
It's true. She's a bad mother.
She is. Okay, Matt, hit me. Hit me with an easy one.
All right. Easy question. Almost all of you should get this. What is the profession of Krusty the Clown's father?
He is a rabbi.
That is correct. A rabbi of the Jewish faith, a specialist in the Torah, and a learned man who you can ask almost anything, including whether it's right to buy a Chrysler.
Voiced by Jackie Mason.
A wonderful man.
Matt, you ready for your medium question?
I am.
What ends up saving the monorail in Marge versus the monorail?
I'm going to have to go with, well, it's a combination of things. It's the M from the name of monorail, it's a rope, and it is the giant lard lad donut. Because donuts, is there anything they can't do?
Correct. That is correct. that is technically correct, the best kind of correct.
That's right. I am a bureaucrat. What can I say?
What level?
I'm only level 38, you know. Okay. I'm pretty far down the totem pole.
You're working your way up?
Working my way up.
Okay.
Haven't gotten anyone else fired yet.
Good.
All right. Are you ready for your medium question, Robbie?
Sure. Hit me.
All right. In the episode Burns Verkaufen der Kraftwerk, how many people are fired when the Germans take over the plant?
Just one. Homer Simpson.
That is correct. Homer is the only one who is fired. Even the alcoholics are sent to a drying out facility in Hawaii. Poor Homer.
Okay, Matt, you ready? This is the hard one.
All right.
How many times has Selma been married and to whom?
Let's see. She was married to Sideshow Bob. She was married to Lionel Hutz. She was married to Troy McClure.
That's three.
And apparently at some point she was married to Apu. Apu wanted to marry her. And this is Selma we're talking about, not Patty. I think that's it. Unless I'm forgetting a more recent one.
Is that, you're done, Matt? You done?
Yes, I'm done.
You're missing two. She's been married five times. Married five times. You got three right. Those, the three you mentioned are correct. The other two are Disco Stew and Abe Simpson.
Really?
Really.
Huh. I don't remember any of those. I will have to go back and watch.
I stumped you, sort of.
You did. You absolutely did.
Well, you got three out of five.
Well, I'm going to have to go back, find what episodes these happened, and watch them all.
What's my hard question? I'm already.
All right, your hard
it.
Question for today. It's not that hard, really.
Okay. I miss it, and then I look stupid.
Mm-hmm. When Bart threw his radio down the well in Radio Bart, what is the name of the fake boy that he tells people has actually fallen down the well?
Timmy O'Toole.
That is correct. And I just really enjoy the song they sent down that well with all the celebrities. You know, rather than digging him out, they sent a song down.
They eventually do dig out Bart.
That's true, but you know that's mostly Sting.
Sting, mostly Sting. Yeah, he does yeah, contribute a lot. Awesome. Marge, he's a good shoveler. I do have a couple things from our listeners, Matt.
Ooh.
So let's see. First, we have a clarification from Sean at SeanyMac15, frequent contributor. We had asked in a previous episode for a trivia question: what is the state Springfield is in? Which fictional state is Springfield in? We had said Springfield. He said the answer is either Springfield or North Tacoma, the city in Oregon in which Matt Groening grew up. And there is, he actually tweeted a picture of me of Homer's license plate from an episode where it says Springfield NT. So I think that's a pretty solid evidence there. I do have a couple questions for you, Matt. You ready? From submitted to us from listeners.
All right. Hit me.
I was one out of two. This is the first one I could not think of. This is from Stephanie at Fan225. According to Lisa the Beauty Queen, in what country are eyelash extensions legal?
That is Paraguay.
That is true. It is Paraguay. I could not think of it. I racked my brain.
Well, you know, I have a great experience with plastic surgery, so, you know.
That explains so much about how good you look, Matt. Our second submitted listener trivia question is from Rob. The last of a batch of his he sent in with his my favorite episode submission. He has AKA Rat Trap 007. Itchy and Scratchy once had a show called Itchy and Scratchy and Friends. Name the three other characters.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Let's see. There was Uncle Ant, Ku Klux Klan.
That's correct.
There was one more.
Hey, Matt, I'll do this. I'll give you a hint.
Bah, okay.
Bah.
Oh, you mean Disgruntled Goat?
Yes, Disgruntled Goat.
Oh, and I think that was it, right?
That's it. That is it.
Oh,
I did say three other characters in the question, so.
Oh, that's true. Right.
So that's three.
I don't pay attention. I just hear the first few words and then think about it.
Okay, good.
You know how hard it is to listen to you, Robbie.
It's great. Thank you. I really appreciate that. As my co-host. It's great. explains this podcast once in a while, I guess, how I say things and then we just move on.
Yep.
Okay. So, hey guys. If you'd like to submit a question, or actually I'm going to ask you specifically, give us a theme. Matt had suggested this early on in this segment. Give us trivia question themes, something we have to build our questions around, as well as, I mean, trivia questions are, of course, still welcome, but send us specific themes, like about a certain character, or a certain season, or, you know, a certain writer, anything, any kind of framework that we have to be constrained to, I think it will challenge us in coming up with very interesting questions. Actually, I'm curious to see if we ever even come up with the same question, because I'm waiting for that day. I know it's going to happen. Eventually, we're going to ask other the same exact question. But yeah, you can tweet at us at Simpsons Show Pod, and you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Both those places getting really great responses from our fans. They send me stuff that, you know, I would not have found on my own. Really funny stuff. I recently had retweeted something about Katy Perry's halftime show performance, relating it to a certain scene from The Simpsons. But you'll have to go to Twitter to find out what it was. And obviously, we had read Gaspar's response at the top of the show. That is constantly happening now. I am amazed by how engaged you guys are, and I encourage everyone who enjoys The Simpsons in general just to check it out, because there's a lot of really good fans of the show and of our show, and always having really fun discussions. And I try and post links of any new Simpsons stuff that comes up, like that really cool Pixel intro thing that I'm going to send to Matt as soon as we're done recording. Only one thing left, Matt. You know what that is, right? You know what time it is?
Oh, no. I think I do.
Yeah, it's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is our show, and Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Now, Matt, where does this one go? Where do you think? It's a good one. It's really strong. Really good.
It is. I am definitely looking right around 5, maybe 6. I definitely think it's better than Homer versus Lisa 8th Commandment. But Brush with Greatness, it's tough. I don't know if it's better than that. What do you think?
I don't know either. As I've thought about it, as I mentioned earlier, we had already recorded this and put it somewhere. But the days in between have made me rethink my position. No, I'm not so sure if Brush with Greatness is... I don't know. Brush with Greatness. Brush with Greatness has the Lombardo method, which
apparently is the method that everybody uses always for
always. All art is based on the Lombardo method. This episode's really good. It's really funny. A lot of good references. That whole dream sequence with, I don't know, Brush with Greatness is really good too.
Mm-hmm. You see my dilemma then.
Yeah, I know. Let me think. Let's see. Let me think about Brush with Greatness for a second.
They got Burns being a jerk. You've got Homer and his weight loss journey. You got him. You got the Krusty sing-along, the croon-along with Krusty.
Yeah. Here we go to Mount Splashmore. Take me now. Now. No, I'm going to say this is better than Brush with Greatness.
All right.
I'm going to say it's better.
I can agree with that.
You can go with that, Matt? Okay. Brush with Greatness is very good. I think this is better.
Sounds good. I would just like to point out that we do learn a good lesson in this episode, and that's that crime doesn't pay.
That's very
true. That's a better lesson than what you learn in Brush with Greatness.
What is
Maybe that? Maybe Mr. Burns will die.
I don't know. That's a pretty good lesson. But regardless, I think we can put in new number 5, Bart the Murderer. Right behind Star Craving Dad, right ahead of Brush with Greatness, Homer's Odyssey still pulling up the rear. You can find this list on our website. It's simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Pretty much everything we do is there. Links to our Facebook, our Twitter, our RSS feed, if that's how you'd like to listen to us. Also, obviously, new shows are there to download and to stream, if you'd like to do it that way as well. You can also, contact the show, and you can donate to us. We'd obviously love to donate. Love for you to donate. I've actually briefly considered doing a Patreon account, but I'm not necessarily sure if that would work. But let me, guys, I have some interesting, like, reward ideas thought up. But I don't really like ads and podcasts, and mostly people don't listen to them anyway. They just skip past them. So what do you think about Patreon, about people using Patreon, if that's something you'd use to contribute to the show? I'd like to have some kind of gauge on anybody's interest in that, because we do 2 episodes a week. We don't really have time for bonus episodes. I think that'd be certainly one thing we'd have with a Patreon, and I have some other really fun, interesting things that I don't know how much they would cost and all that stuff, but let us know. You can also email us. I didn't mention that. SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Matt, what's our next episode?
Let's see here. I believe... Oh, that's right. It is Homer Defined.
This is one of my favorites, I think. I hold this episode in high regard. I'm very excited to... I'm very excited to rewatch it and with a careful eye and to discuss it with you. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if it holds up to my memories.
I don't know. I don't remember this one particularly fondly, so we'll see.
Uh-oh. I'm going to have to fight it out with Matt. Good. Should be a good episode then. I think we could call... No, wait. Oh, wait. Before we go, I'm on Twitter, at MixmasterCheryl. That's MixmasterCereal. You can check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That is correct. However, if you would like, you can find our public keys hidden somewhere on our website. So if you'd like, you can get a message, encrypt it with your private key, send us your public key. I will use it and my private key to decrypt it so we can talk secretly without Robbie knowing. So feel free to do that.
Yeah, cryptography there. Also, guys, there is a Matt Ham on Twitter. That is not our Matt. Please do not tweet at him. He's
very confused right now.
He got tweeted at involving a suggestion for us to do The Critic. So that's not Matt. That's just some guy. Sorry, guy. Sorry, dude on the internet.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. His name is Matt Ham, so you know.
He seems probably great. I looked at his Twitter very briefly. He seems fine, but he's not our Matt. So like I said, Matt does not participate in social media. I'm very serious. We're serious when we say that. I think we can call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.